Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 7 minutes after the 11 p.m. hour, this is the WGN Radio Theater, program 180, a round number, Lisa, 180 in the series. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Did you have a nice time today?
I sure did.
You had 16 people over at your palatial...
It's in my palatial palace.
Palatial palace?
Yeah, but all four of my kids are home, so that was exciting.
What did we have to eat?
We had food.
Yeah?
We had lots of food. Lots of food.
Did you cook out on your new Weber grill?
I did not.
Oh,
I ordered because,
really?
You know, it's Mother's Day.
That's
I didn't
right.
Want to be
well,
cooking
you could have had
day.
Dan do it.
Yeah, we had I did a little bit, but I mostly ordered stuff. But we had a great.
You're good at that.
I am good
at dialing.
That.
You're good at dialing.
It was more relaxing.
Yeah,
that way.
But you're gonna have me over for something on that Weber.
I promise.
All right, very good. On this edition of the WGN Radio Theater, we have Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. We have Boston Blackie with Dick Calmar, and then it's The Whistler with Elliot Lewis. That's all coming your way. Our producer is the one and only Shante Garth, and she is the best in the business. We love her. And all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming film The Big Sick, about a couple dealing with their cultural differences as their relationship grows.
All right, what do they win?
They win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's.
Yeah, that sounds
delicious.
Good. I could go for a Lou Malnati's right
I
now.
Always,
I'm hungry right now.
I always love
I'm
Lou
always
Malnati's
hungry.
Pizza.
I come here and I'm this hungry.
Well, there's pizza and there's pizza.
Yeah.
This is Lou
this
Malnati's.
Is Lou Malnati's.
This is the best.
312-981-7200 is the number to call. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of Everybody Loves Raymond.
You know I love golfing. I don't get to golf very often.
All right. Who is that actor? 312-981-7200. Wolf.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
You know I love golfing. I don't get to golf very often.
Hey, we have Laurel on the line. Hi, Laurel.
Hi, Lisa. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Are you a mom?
No, I'm not.
All right. Well, I'll just take all the Mother's Day
love. Do you want to be?
I'm a little old for that, Carl, my old East Lydon alum friend.
Wait a minute. Is this Laurel, the Laurel from
East
Lydon? Come on, Laurel. Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's so nice to talk to you. How the heck are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
Oh, my gosh. It's been forever.
Right. My old Schiller Park.
Oh, my gosh. So nice to talk to you. And you're listening to the program. How long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, for like, I don't know, since you guys started
about 18 years ago,
wow.
Wasn't it?
Well, we've been on WGN for 2 years. Well, it's really great to talk to you, Laurel. Thanks for calling in.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Well,
yeah.
We're guessing you know who that wonderful voiced actor is.
Yes, I do.
Who is it?
Everybody loves him.
Don't they?
Ray Romano.
Ray Romano. I love him, too.
I love him, too.
You know, did you used to watch Parenthood last year or the year before? Because he was on that show as well.
No, I never seen that one.
It was so good. Well, anyhow, you are a winner, and we are so happy to give you a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's.
I'll deliver it personally, Laurel, all right?
I'll come too. We'll all have a party.
Come over there and bring you a pizza.
Spinach and
spinach
is good.
And buttercrust.
Sounds great.
Oh, I'm there.
Right. Well,
sounds good.
There. No, I'm going over there.
We'll
both go.
He's not.
Okay.
He doesn't share well. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. Laurel, I'm afraid Carl needs his own pizza because he doesn't really like to share with others, but we can probably work something out.
Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank
you're welcome.
You, Laurel.
Thanks, Laurel. All right, thank you. All right, it's time for Gunsmoke. This was a great adult Western series, and it was on television, too. Of course, it ran on TV with a completely different cast. On radio, William Conrad played Marshal Matt Dillon, and Parley Bear was Deputy Chester Proudfoot. Great radio series, and we have a terrific episode for you now from 1952 called Terra. And here's part one of Gunsmoke.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Hello, anyone here?
Be right out. I was just in the... Oh, hello, Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Ben. How are you? That shipment come in from St. Louis?
It came in on the morning train, Marshal. I was going to send the boy over to tell you.
What, have you seen it yet?
I haven't had a chance to open it up. Here it is.
Oh, good. Well, let's see how it looks. Huh?
All right. There it is. Prettiest gold watch chain I ever did see.
Chester like that.
Yeah. And look at the gleam on that elk's tooth.
Yeah.
Chester know you're getting this for him?
Oh, no, no. It's by way of a surprise. He thinks he's got a birthday this month sometime. Saturday's about the middle of the month, so I figure it's as good a day as any. Give it.
Yeah, morning, Miss Tara.
Oh, morning, Ben. Marshal Dillon.
Morning, Tara.
Oh, how beautiful. Is it yours, Marshal?
Oh, no, no, no. It's for Chester. He's always wanted one.
It's lovely. Ben, mm-hmm. Did my hand mirror arrive?
Yeah, it came in this morning, Miss Tara.
Can I take it now?
I don't know why not. It's paid for. Here. Careful now, Miss Tara. Came all the way from Boston, so don't drop it.
Oh, I won't. Don't worry. Thanks, Ben. Goodbye. Goodbye, Marshal Dillon.
Bye, Tara. That's a mighty pretty girl, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, she's blossomed out since I saw her last. Well, what owe you, Ben?
It'll be just about $4, Marshal.
$4, huh? Yeah. There we are, $4.
Thank you, Marshal. And give Chester my regards.
I'll do that, Ben. Morning, Miss Lane.
Morning, Marshal.
Morning.
Morning, Marshal.
Hello, John.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
Good morning, Chester.
Well, morning, Mr. Dillon.
Put this in the safe for me, will you?
Yes, sir.
How was the auction yesterday?
You know, Mr. Dillon, I never did see so many horses and mules.
You buy anything?
No, sir, Mr. Dillon. But Asa Welton bought that old stud horse off Mr. McGovern.
No, is that so?
Yeah. You know, I feel sorry for poor old Asa. Why, that stud horse has got a ring bone so bad he can't hardly walk.
Well, Asa isn't very smart when it comes to horses, I'm afraid.
No, sir, he ain't. And I purely hate to see him lose good money on a horse like that. Why, he paid $19 for that horse.
No? Well, he'll make out if the stud can get him some colts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, I guess. That is, if he's got a mare.
Yes, Chester, if he's got a mare.
And if he don't, well, sir, I just don't know. My.
Chester, this evening I'm going to have supper with Kitty over at Dodge House. Will you stay here? There's no work to do, but you could keep an eye on things, huh?
Well, I'd be proud, Mr. Dillon.
More coffee, Kitty?
No, thanks, Matt.
Yeah. You mind if I smoke?
Oh, those are the longest cigars I ever saw.
Well, if it bothers you,
Matt, I don't have... 6 nights a week at the Texas Trail, and you think I'd mind one cigar? Go ahead.
Okay.
Matt.
What?
There's something been troubling me.
Oh, what's that?
Well, I wanted to have supper here so we could talk.
Well, what is it, Kitty?
Almost 4 months ago, you and Chester brought a little girl back into town. Daddy was dead, out on the plains. You brought her back because she couldn't stay out there alone.
Well, go on.
She was real sweet. Young, I guess maybe 17.
You're talking about Tara Hantree?
Yeah, man.
I saw her over at the general store this morning. What about her?
Well, she's hanging around the Texas Trail, Matt. I see her there all the time. Afternoons, evenings.
Oh? Well, why are you telling me this, Kitty?
Well, it's no place for a girl. Not a young girl, not a girl like Tara.
I don't have any say about how Kate runs the Texas Trail. If they don't want Tara in the place, Kate should keep her out.
Well, Kate won't keep her out. Why should she? Tara's attractive. She's good for business.
Kitty, when I brought Tara back to Dodge, Lawrence Kells and his wife took her in. They've been treating her like their own daughter. Now, it's not my place to interfere
with them. Well, maybe they don't know, Matt.
They're church-going people, Kitty, Kells and his wife. They try to do what's right for Tara. I'm sure they do.
Matt, people like the Kells don't know the Texas Trail. They don't know the saddle bums, the spoilers, the wild ones that hang out there. Even if they did, they wouldn't see too much wrong with the man Tara's taken up with.
Well, who is it?
Jack Grace.
Jack Grace?
Yeah.
Tara's keeping company with him?
She has been since he came to town a few weeks back.
Oh, that little fool.
Well, don't blame her too much, Matt. He cuts quite a figure. Long hair, buckskin shirt, Texas spurs. She's young, and his stories make for good listening.
Yeah.
Matt, I've talked with Grace. There's something wrong with him. He's too cold, like he's dead inside. He can charm you with a smile, and he talks just fine, almost like a gentleman. But there's nothing inside him, Matt. He's empty, like a shell.
All right. What do you want me to do, Kitty?
Thank you, Matt. Talk to the Kells.
All right. Tomorrow morning, I promise.
Morning, Marshall Dillon.
Good morning, Tara.
We are having some lemonade. Won't you join us?
I came looking for Mr. Kells.
They're both down at the church, getting ready for the social tomorrow night. Marshall Dillon, have you met Mr. Grace?
Mr. Grace?
I know of you, Marshall Dillon. Down around Waco, several of the boys speak of you.
What did you want to see the Kells about, Marshall Dillon? Maybe I could help you.
I think I should talk to them, Tara. It's a matter of business.
About Mr. Kells' business? The buffalo hides?
No. It's another sort of thing. I better come back, Tara. They'll be home later.
Well, you know how these church socials take planning. It may be late.
Yeah, well, I'll come back then.
Sorry you won't join us, Marshall.
Thank you anyway, Mr. Grace.
I'll walk you to the gate, Marshall.
Oh, fine.
I'll be seeing you again, Marshall Dillon.
Maybe, Mr. Grace.
I know why you came here today, Marshall. I know why you wanted to see the Kells.
You do, Tara?
It's about me and Jack Grace, isn't it?
This isn't the time to talk about it, Tara.
It's a fine time to talk about it.
Now, look,
Tara.
The
busybodies in this town sent you over here. They don't like my keeping company with Jack. Isn't that right?
They're not busybodies, Tara. They're people who are fond of you. Older than you and know more about Jack Grace than you do.
Blue-nosed old gossip.
Now, Tara, listen to me.
No, you listen to me. For as long back as I can remember,
Pa and me worked that dried up old homestead. Alone after Ma died. It killed Pa. Came near to killing me.
Look, when I brought you into Dodge, the Kells took you in. They treated you like their own daughter. Mr. Kells is a wealthy man. He's given you everything he can.
And I'm grateful to him. He's tried hard to do all the things Pa would have done if the planes hadn't killed him. But he still can't give me the love and excitement and fun Jack Grace can.
Oh, Tara, so help me. If you were 2 years younger, I'd put you across my knee and slap some sense into you. Now, if you hurt the Kells because of Jack Grace, or if you get yourself in trouble, I'm going to forget about this.
I didn't know better. I'd say it was a lover's spat.
I'll be back later, Tara.
There isn't much point in that, Marshal Dillon, from what I could hear on the porch. Miss Tara seems to have said what she thinks real plain.
I'll be back later, Tara. Will you tell him?
I don't know why you bother, Marshal. If the Kells are ones to worry about loose reputations, they might not pay too much attention to you.
What are you getting at?
A U.S. Marshal who sniffs around one of the girls at the Texas Trail isn't in the best of company, and after all, everyone knows a kitty is...
Now get up. And if I ever hear you've mentioned Kitty again, I'll come after you.
Why don't you do that?
I will.
Good day, Tara.
Oh, Jack,
I'll call back for you later this afternoon.
I'm sorry, Tara. I didn't mean for this to happen.
You're just a big, blundering, stupid bully.
Tara, please.
And if you mess up the one thing that means happiness for me, I'll help him kill you.
Yeah, don't get her mad at you. Don't get Tara mad at you there.
No, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want anybody to be mad at me, although that's an impossible task.
Yeah, because you're perfect.
No, you know, there's always
Lisa,
somebody.
You're pretty close to it,
there's always
though.
Somebody who's not happy with something.
That's true. This is the first portion of Gunsmoke with Tara from November 7th, 1952, starring William Conrad. We'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Roger and Esmeralda. We appreciate you both. It is 11:38 on a Sunday night, Lisa Wolf, right?
Yes, you're
I
right.
Can tell.
You got you know, it. All
I
right.
learned in school how to tell time
with a digital clock.
You know, I actually had. Well, I remember back in school, in grammar school. Learning to tell time is not easy. I remember having a little difficulty with that.
What were you about? 16, 17?
I think I'm over it now. I think I have it figured out now. No, I was a little younger than that.
It's a first grade.
Is it first grade? Mm-hmm. I remember seeing the clock and thinking, like, okay, this means it's a quarter after.
Well,
this
doesn't make sense that you see one and it's five. That you count in fives, but the numbers go 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
That's why
it took a little while.
I bet
me
it
to
took
figure
you
it out.
Some time.
It took until, like, college.
Yeah.
And then I had it.
Good.
Figured it out.
You know.
And, you know, when I was in college, I studied to be an astronaut.
Did you?
Yeah, I took up space. And
see, Roger's waving his hand. I know. I know, Roger. This is what I live with. I know.
Listen.
You know, anytime he can play that snare drum thing.
Yeah.
He takes the opportunity.
It's called a rim shot.
He's got three jokes, and they rotate, throughout the night.
I'll throw a new one in there once in a while. Yeah.
Not on the air.
Yeah, he threw it and didn't go anywhere.
Now and then off the air.
You know, he's got bursitis in that softball arm of his now.
Right.
You know,
softball. How dare you hurt my feelings?
Roger.
Well,
I play baseball.
I'm older than you, and I've graduated to the softball.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You are still virile, and you play that baseball. And yeah.
Did you play this weekend?
No, I didn't play this weekend. I had some other previous engagements.
Gotcha.
But I do have a game Wednesday night. And I'm looking forward to it because it's supposed to be nice weather this week, right, Raj?
Yeah, it should be pretty, at least warmer than it has been. I may have a little rain from here and there, but I don't think it'll interrupt your baseball.
All right. Well, I'll hold
Better
you to
not,
it.
I'll
hold
I
you to
do
it
golf.
Then. Oh, yeah, golf. That's right. Yeah, you got to do that. All right. So, yeah, Wednesday night, a little baseball there. Lisa, come out and watch.
Well,
come on. If you don't have anything better to do,
I'll put that down on my calendar.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll show up, too. So, all right, I want to remind all of our listeners that every Monday I send an email out. Now, there's thousands, and I mean this, thousands and thousands of people have signed up to this. And it's called Free Radio Classics. Roger gets it. Lisa gets it. My mom gets it. And then thousands of other people get it. But here's the deal, folks. If you go to freeradioclassics.com and you put your first and last name and your email address and then click it, you'll get a confirmation email. If you click that, then you're signed up. There's nothing to pay for. There's nothing to buy. It's absolutely free. And then every Monday, you will get an email sent to your computer, and you can listen to it on your computer or listen to it on your iPhone or your III or whatever you get your emails on. But the email has an embedded classic radio show in it. Plus, there's pictures of the stars in that radio show, the synopsis, the date. It's all kinds of fun stuff. It's exactly what it's called, a free radio classic. You get it every single week. Just go to freeradioclassics.com. Last week, I'm trying to think what it was. Do you remember now?
I don't remember.
I think it might have been Fibber, McGee, and Molly.
No, it wasn't.
Okay. Well, you'll get one week, it might be this The Shadow. The next week, it might be Gunsmoke.
But it is a good variety of shows.
Every single... I remember what it was.
What?
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Okay.
It was the one we sent last week, CBS Radio Workshop. But you'll get, you know, Jack Benny, Boston Blackie, you name it. Every single week, you'll get a half-hour email,
a half-hour
radio show emailed to you in this. It's a free service. We want to thank our listeners, and this is
right. We know they're there because they like classic radio,
right.
So this is a nice perk.
Go to freeradioclassics.com. If you do it right now, you'll get your first email.
Monday.
Yeah, tomorrow around 2 o'clock, something like that in the afternoon. All right, let's get back now to Gunsmoke.
Told me you wanted to see me, Mr. Dillon.
Yes, Mr. Kells. Won't you sit down, please?
Yeah, sure. Hope it won't take too long. Gretchen and I are in charge of the box store tonight, you know. Wouldn't want to be too late.
Well, it may take a few minutes, Mr. Kells. It's important.
Oh?
It's about Tara.
And Jack Grace.
You know about it, then?
I've known about it ever since she came to town 3 weeks ago. They met. Heaven knows where or how, and she's been seeing him most every day since.
You know where she spends her time?
At the Texas Trail. Yes, I know. Gretchen and I have tried every way we know, Marshal Dillon. We both talk with Tara, but she's young and headstrong. I don't know what to do. I think she'd run away with him if we interfered again.
Mr. Kells, as Marshal, this is no affair of mine, but as someone who's fond of Tara and... Well, I wish you'd try talking with her again.
Well, we'll do everything we can, I promise you that. Perhaps Grace will get tired of her and leave Dodge.
Perhaps.
Well, anyhow, you know I'll sure try.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for coming over here, Mr. Kell.
Sure, Marshal. You're going to be at the social tonight, aren't you?
Oh, sure. Chester and I'll be there. Chester'd be real upset to miss it.
Good. We'll see you there.
Okay, fine.
Mr. Dillon, this is Miss Honeycutt.
How do?
I'm proud to know you, ma'am.
I bought her supper box. Did you bid on any supper boxes, Mr. Dillon?
No, Chester. I was late getting here.
Oh, that's a pity. Now, what do you do for supper?
Oh, I'll make out all right.
Well, there's really enough for the three of us, Marshal, if you care to join us.
Well, thank you, Miss Honeycutt, but I'm looking for Mr. and Ms. Kells.
Oh, they're not here yet. The parson was asking for them a few minutes ago. Mr. Kells was to have auctioned off the suppers, but they didn't come, so we went ahead without them.
Oh?
You sure you won't join us, Marshal?
No, thank you, ma'am. I'll just wait for the Kells. Perhaps I'll walk back toward their place and meet them on the way.
Well, all right, Mr. Dillon. Miss Honeycutt and I'll be right over there if you need me.
I don't think I will, Chester. You just go ahead and enjoy yourself.
Real pleased to meet you.
Nice to have met you.
Yes, mind that bench, Miss Honeycutt.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, hello, Kitty.
You leaving the party before I get there?
No. I was just walking back toward the Kells place. They're not at the social yet, and this might be a good chance to talk to them.
Oh, all right, if I come with you.
Well, sure. I had a talk with Mr. Kells this afternoon.
Yeah?
Yeah. He knows all about Tara and Grace. Has known for a long time.
Well, what's he going to do about it, man?
He doesn't know what to do. Neither do I, Kitty. Look, Kitty, you're a woman. You know about these things. You don't tell a woman she shouldn't love some man, do you?
No, you don't.
Kells has tried hard. He's done everything he can.
Well, he's a wealthy man. He could send her east for a few months on a visit. St. Louis, maybe.
To forget Grace?
Yeah.
Would it do any good?
No.
Oh, there's the house.
It's dark. Maybe we passed him.
No, I don't think so. Here.
Thanks.
Kitty?
Yeah?
Maybe you better wait here, huh?
Matt, what is it?
The house shouldn't be dark. We didn't pass them.
What are you going to do?
I'm going inside.
I'll come with you.
All right, come on.
The door's open. Oh, Matt. Matt, look.
Stay here, Kitty. Shot, both of them.
Oh.
No wonder they were late for the auction. Kitty, go back to the church social. Find Chester. Have him meet me at the jail. Tell Doc to come over here.
What are you going to do, Matt?
I don't know. Look around, maybe.
Why this? What for?
Who knows why people kill, Kitty? Money, maybe. I don't know.
But who'd do it, Matt? Who'd kill the Kells?
Someone who hated him enough or thought they had something he wanted. Bad. Real bad.
Grace.
Will you please get Chester and Doc?
Yeah.
Tara? Tara, are you all right? It's Matt Dillon, Tara. Are you hurt bad? Who did it, Tara? Do you know?
Yes, I know.
Well, who was it? Was it Grace?
Oh, Matt.
What happened, Tara? Tara.
Mr. Kells was waiting for him when Jack came for me. Mr. Kells wanted to talk with Jack, he said, and
well, go on.
I don't know.
I can't help if you don't tell me what happened.
But when Jack came, there was an argument. Mr. Kells told Jack to go away, leave me alone. Told him not to come back. Jack laughed, called Mr. Kells a name, and Miss Kells slapped him, and Jack hit her. Mr. Kells tried to get his rifle in the corner, and Jack...
Yeah?
He shot him. He shot both of them. Then he turned and said it wouldn't have worked out for us. He was leaving. Just like that. He was leaving. You see, you'd be nothing but trouble, he said. I'm leaving, he said. Then he hit me. And
Doc will be here in a few minutes, Tara. He'll take care of you.
You want me to go with you, Mr. Dillon?
No, you stay here. Get me that Winchester, will you?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thank you.
How do you figure to trail him at night, Mr. Dillon?
I don't. I'm taking a guess, that's all.
You know where he's going?
Like I say, it's a guess. It won't be back to Texas. He's wanted there. Might be Abilene. Ben Thompson would cover for him there.
He'll have an hour or more start on you, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know, but I figure to take the backcountry and ride hard. Maybe I'll cut his sign by morning.
You'll be riding 3 miles to his one.
I'll take the buckskin. He can last.
Yes, you. Don't you even want me to follow you?
I should be back by tomorrow night. You stay here and help Kitty and Doc with everything. And take good care of the girl. She needs help.
Yes, you. Good luck, Mr. Dillon.
Grace, you can't see me. Don't bother to try. Just drop your gun belt. Easy. And your rifle. Throw it down. Now keep your hands high, just like they are.
You travel fast, Dillon. I didn't waste time getting to here.
I know this country better than you, Grace. Roads aren't always straight.
Even so, that buckskin of yours must be quite a piece of horse.
He is. We'll be starting back right quick, but meanwhile, you just sit tall right where you are.
Arms will get tired. Taking me back to jail in Dodge?
Well, what do you expect? You murdered 2 people just last night, tried a third.
I just hit Tara down. I don't know as I tried to kill her.
You must have known I'd come after you.
I figured maybe you'd start tracking me toward Texas. I didn't give you credit to think of my heading for Abilene. I guess the joke's on me.
Yeah, I guess it is. You know, I don't understand what goes on inside you, Grace.
There's no point in my getting riled. You got me cold-decked.
Someone told me earlier you were just a shell. That you were empty inside. By heaven, you are. You're crazy, Grace. Just mean, pure crazy.
It's you doing that talking, Marshal. Please yourself. In a way, it's all Tara's fault, I suppose. Well, it wouldn't have worked out anyway, like I told her. All right, if I light up. Marshal?
All right. But watch your moves.
My makings are in my blue.
Don't, Greg.
I didn't know Kansas marshals were so fast.
A derringer up the sleeve's an old story, Grace.
Yeah, but they sure are. Guess I won't go to trial after all.
No, maybe not. But you're going back to Dodge.
like they say on the posters, dead or...
Yeah. Dead or alive.
Marshall Dillon, I want to thank you and Miss Kitty for everything you've done for me since...
Sure.
You got everything in the stage, Tara?
Yes, Miss Kitty.
It's a long trip, Tara. You sure you won't change your mind?
I think I'll like it back east, and St. Louis won't be as big as all this.
Marshal Dillon will be late into Hayes City if I don't get away now.
Okay, driver. Well, goodbye, Tara. Good luck.
Goodbye. Well, Matt, she's gone.
Yeah. I don't blame her for wanting to leave, Kitty. The West took nearly everything she loved. Her ma and pa and the Kells.
And her true love?
What, Jack Grace?
Jack Grace is no good, but Tara gave him her heart. And she never got it all back.
Perhaps you're right, Kitty, but Tara's young. She'll mend.
Will she, Matt?
I hope so, Kitty. I truly do.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Special music for tonight's story was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Sammy Hill as Tara and John Daner as Jack Grace, with Ralph Moody, Joe Duvall, and Vivi Janis. Parley Bear as Chester and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Novelist C.S. Forrester saw in the turbulent Napoleonic Wars an ideal historical background for the exploits of a seagoing hero of his own creation, Horatio Hornblower. And now every Friday night on most of these same CBS radio stations, Michael Redgrave stars as Horatio Hornblower. Clancy Cassell speaking. And remember, Tarzan brings you his adventures Saturday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
Probably the best adult Western on radio right there, Gunsmoke. That's a broadcast from November 7th, 1952, called Tara. And it stars William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. As heard on CBS. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, about 10 minutes after midnight here, and we have Boston Blackie this hour, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow!
This actress stars in the upcoming film The Beguiled, about a wounded Union soldier who was taken in at a girls' school during the Civil War.
What do they win?
They will win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's.
Not bad. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actress was the star of 2014's Grace of Monaco.
We've prepared a room at the palace for you. You'll stay, won't you?
Who is that great actress, Lisa? Do you know?
I do.
All right.
I just
well, maybe our listeners do also.
On Ellen.
Oh, really? Okay. 312-981-7200. Call up, win a pizza. We'll be right back.
All righty. We are back with the WGN Radio Theater playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
We've prepared a room at the palace for you. You'll stay, won't you?
And we have Pat on the line. Hey, Pat.
Hi, Lisa. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Are you a mom?
I am a mom.
Okay, well then.
I was with my sons today, and we played golf and had dinner, so thank you.
Then happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. And I was with my kids today, too, so and my mom, so there's nothing better than that.
Awesome, right.
So who is that actress?
I believe that's Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman is absolutely right, and you are a winner. You've won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza and my personal favorite. You can find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnatis.com. Thank you so much, Pat. We hope you love the pizza.
You.
And more importantly, we hope you love the show.
Absolutely. I love it all the time. Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thanks, Pat. All right, it's time now, Lisa, for my favorite radio series of all time,
yes,
Boston Blackie. I like him because he's kind of a smarty pants, this guy.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I sort of kind of just, I don't know, I have a kinship to him.
Yes.
You know?
I didn't know you had that smart aleck personality.
I don't know. I just like Boston Blackie. I'm not sure why. He was not a real guy. He was a fictional character created by Jack Boyle. And Boston Blackie was a criminal. He was actually a safecracker and a master thief, but he went to jail. And while in jail, he was rehabilitated, and he decided, you know what, I'm going to use my knowledge of the underworld to fight crime. He was known as enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend. And he started in the silent films in 1919, like you did with your career.
Right.
Yeah. And then went from 1919 all the way to 1927, in films, and then Chester Morris was cast to play Boston Blackie in 14 Columbia pictures that started in 1941. Then a radio series came to the air in 1944. Dick Calmar played him on radio, and then on television he was played by Kent Taylor for 58 episodes from 1951 through 1953. We have a radio episode for you now called The Apartment Swindler. This is from September 17, 1946. Dick Calmar stars now in Boston Blackie.
Out of my way.
Just a minute.
Let me through here, will you?
Hey, get in line with the rest of us. What's the big idea?
No. Never mind what the idea is. Just let me through. I got to get in there.
Wait a minute. Who do you think you're pushing?
I'm sorry. I just got to get into that office, and I've got to get in fast.
Come out of here.
Please excuse my breaking in like this, but it's just that I got to...
Hold it there, soldier. Take it easy.
It's ex-soldier, and I want to apologize because I couldn't wait online. I know that this was the wrong thing to do, but I got to have an apartment. I got to get back to my job right away.
Well, in the case of an ex-soldier, I don't think anybody minds too much. We have a few apartments left. Of course, our building isn't up yet, and we're just renting from plans. Tom, let's have that blueprint on your desk, will you?
Right, Mr. Davidson.
We'll try to help you if we can. What's your name, sir?
Palmer, Jim Palmer, and I've got to get back...
Here you are, Mr. Davidson. House plan.
Hey, look, that's all Greek to me, that blueprint. Just tell me, can I get four rooms in it?
I think so. In fact, you can have the last four-room apartment that's left. The deposit will be $300.
Wow, that's plenty steep, isn't it? But I guess maybe I can climb it. I'll have to go to the bank first, though.
All right, soldier. But take your time. We're glad to save an apartment for you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks a lot. I'll be back in an hour. Thanks again, Mr. Davidson.
Hi, Mr. Palmer. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, Bill?
We just made ourselves another $300. And there's a mob outside just waiting to make us rich.
That's great, Bill, but don't you think we've made enough?
Uh-huh. We set a goal for ourselves. We said we'd sell 100 apartments in the forthcoming Bryant apartment house to 1,000 people and then skip.
Yeah, yeah, I know, but won't Mr. Bryant get wise to us before we hit the 1,000?
Not a chance. He'll never know what we're doing till after we skip town with about $100,000 in deposit money. Then we'll leave 1,000 tenants holding their breath, and Henry Bryant holding the bag.
And now meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friend.
Well, Mary, where do you want to go? I'm taking the afternoon off and you out.
Mm,
Let's leave then, Blackie, before your mind gets to... Oh, that phone is what I meant.
It might be nothing.
Don't you just wish it weren't so?
I'll answer that when I get through answering this phone. Hello.
Boston, Blackie?
Yes, it's Blackie.
Blackie, this is Jim Palmer.
Who?
Well, you don't know me, but I need your help.
Yeah, what is it?
Look, I'm only out of the service a short while, Blackie, and I'm being swindled.
Well, tell me about it, Jim.
I paid $300 to a couple of guys over at the Bryant Realty Company this morning. They promised to save me an apartment in a new building they're putting up.
Go ahead.
Well, I found out they've been signing people and taking deposits for days. They couldn't possibly have that many apartments, so I went in and demanded my money back.
And they wouldn't give it to him?
No. Mr. Johnson said it was another man, Mr. Davidson, who was in charge of refunds, and he said Davidson was out of town. Look, maybe everything's okay down there, Blackie, and if it is, swell. But I just can't afford to lose $300.
I see, and even though you can't get it back, you think I can.
I'm sure you can, Blackie. And don't forget, if this guy Davidson is swindling me, he's swindling hundreds of others. If this deal is crooked, I'll kill the one guy in back of it. Believe me, I will.
Whoa, take it easy, soldier. I'll meet you for a few minutes, and then if this is a racket, I'll go down to the real estate office and make a little noise myself.
Charlie?
Oh, hiya, Bill.
How the motorists behaving on your section of the highway?
Okay. Being a motorcycle cop ain't what it used to be. Only if I had to chase a car going as fast as one last week, I'll need a propeller on this cycle of mine. Things quiet down your way?
Yeah. Only place they like to cut loose is from the top of that hill down to the bottom here. I guess it's a roller coaster effect they get when they see... Hey, Charlie, look. Look at this crazy fool coming down the hill now.
Holy jumping Jehoshaphat. He must be doing 90.
Yeah. Maybe you'll need that propeller on your cycle sooner than you think. Wow, here he comes.
You mean there he goes?
Yeah, here we go. Kick it, boy.
Come on.
I'm right with you.
Sure ain't slowing down any.
I'll say he isn't. He's got enough momentum going down that hill to coast from here to the state line.
He better slow down before he gets to that curve. Because if he doesn't,
he's doing it now, Charlie. Look at the sap going to that turn.
Go into it, nothing. He's trying to straighten it out. He's going to crack up.
Good night, Charlie. He'll certainly crack up.
No, he won't, Bill. He already has. Slow down. We don't have to chase him now.
No, but one of us better chase to a call box and get him an ambulance.
Yeah, but guess we better have a look at him first.
Yeah. All right. Oh, look at that car.
What's there left to look at? Well, no fire yet. Guess the guy must have cut his engine off just before he crashed. Can you see him in there?
Yeah, I can. This door's smashed. We'll have to pry it open.
Maybe if we both pull on it.
All right, we'll try. Come on, now, Tuck. That's it.
Oh, sure jam.
Yeah, there. That got the door off. Now let's get this guy out.
Now, wait, Bill. There's no use moving him. He's dead.
Dead, huh? Well, it's no wonder. He cracked up going 90 easy.
The crack-up didn't kill him, Bill. He's been dead a long time. Look at those bullet holes in his head.
Hello.
Good afternoon, sir.
My name is Jones. I saw your ad in the paper the other day, and I'd like to rent an apartment from the building that you're going to put up.
So would a lot of other people, Mr. Jones. Only they were early people. Sorry, we're all filled up. Have been since the day the ad appeared.
Oh. By the way, is your name Davidson?
No, I'm Johnson, Tom Johnson. Mr. Davidson's assistant.
Well, tell your boss I'd like to see him, will you?
Well, you can tell him yourself as soon as he comes in. Went to lunch at 12. Ought to be back in a few minutes. It's after 1 now.
All right, I'll wait.
Well, sure, have a seat.
Thanks. Say, who's the guy in the picture on the desk?
Oh, that's Davidson. The guy likes himself so much, he's got to look at his own picture all day long.
Nice-looking guy. Looks as if he might have been an athlete.
Oh, he was once. Won the heavyweight boxing championship in the Navy a few years ago. So proud of it, he has crowns and anchors tattooed on each arm.
Is that so? Big fella, huh?
Yeah, plenty big.
What do you know about his background?
What's that to you?
Oh. Cute kid, huh? I asked you a question.
And I asked you one. What's that to you, remember?
Look, Buster, I said my name was Jones. It's not. I'm Boston Blackie.
I'm so scared. Look, I'm shaking.
Maybe you weren't when you heard my name, but you are now, and I'm seeing to it.
Hey, listen.
Now, what do you know about Davidson?
Let go of my coat. Let me go or I'll plant this right on your chin.
I'll let go of something, but not your coat. It's just a sample. Now, get up and keep your hands where they belong, at your sides. That's better. I'm beginning to think that my friend Jim Palmer was right, that this is a racket. Now, get on the telephone and call whoever owns that building that's going up.
Call Mr. Bryant? I don't think I could do that.
No? Try thinking again about it. Come on. I've got a date with my girlfriend, and I can't wait here all day.
All right, I'll call him.
This could be a very cute setup you have here, pal. Maybe Mr. Bryant would like to know about it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Bryant. This is Tom Johnson.
Yes, Tom.
Mr. Bryant, there's a man named Boston Blackie here in my office to see Bill Davidson. He insisted I call you. Is Davidson at your place?
No, no, he isn't. I haven't seen him all day. What's this Blackie want to see him about?
Give me that phone. Hello, Mr. Bryant. This is Boston Blackie.
What is it, Blackie?
Listen, Mr. Bryant, I think your Mr. Davidson here has been using your apartment house project to make himself a barrel of dough.
What?
He's swindled my friend Jim Palmer and maybe 999 others.
Oh, this is awful. What will he do?
I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I know what you ought to do.
What, Blackie?
Go somewhere and hide. You'll want to be good and lost when 1,000 people start screaming for their money. So long. Look, Johnson, are you sure Davidson went to lunch at 12 o'clock?
Well, Blackie, when I came...
Well, Blackie, here I am.
Oh, hello, Mary. I've been expecting you.
Hi.
Hey, what's that in the paper you're carrying there? Something in the headlines about a murder. I can see part of it. What's the rest of it say?
I don't know. I just bought the paper. Something about a man in an automobile crash who wasn't killed by the crash, but by a couple of bullets in the head. That's as far as I read.
You mean you stopped reading there? Here, let me see that.
Sure, here you are.
Thanks. Oh, by the way, Mary, this is Tom Johnson.
How do you do?
Hi.
But don't get to know him too well. He thinks he's tough.
Oh, you had trouble, Blackie, did you?
No, he did. I'm sure Hunch happy today. You know, maybe this unidentified body is the missing Bill Davidson.
Bill Davidson? Who's he?
The renting agent here, Mary. I think he built a beautiful racket for himself and then did a fade-out.
Yeah, it is funny that he hasn't come back from lunch.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'll ask you again, Johnson. You sure Davidson went to lunch at 12?
Well, I'm not positive. I went out, and when I got back at 12:30, there was a note from him saying he'd gone out at noon.
Well, then, Blackie, maybe it was Mr. Davidson's body that was found.
Maybe. Anyhow, we know what Davidson looks like, thanks to this photograph on the desk here. I'm pretty sure Davidson was killed, so I'm going to see Inspector Faraday. Only if Davidson is alive, he'll be playing an awfully dirty trick on me.
All right, that's the first portion of Boston Blackie, broadcast from September 17th, 1946. The Apartment Swindlers. Hope you are enjoying this, and we'll get back to it in just a few minutes.
WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger. Thank you, Esmeralda. It is 12:34. Happy Monday morning. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. Lisa and I are here every Saturday and Sunday night, along with our producer, Shante Garth. We're here every Saturday, Sunday, from 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning, playing all your favorite classic radio shows. If you've just kind of were spinning the dial and heard Boston Blackie, and you were like, you know, speaking of Boston Blackie, there's two Boston Blackie restaurants.
Yeah, somebody had just texted in the text line
I've
and asked
there.
About Boston
Great
Blackie.
Great burgers. Terrific burgers.
They would be a good sponsor for our show.
Well, you know,
Boston
hey,
Blackie.
If you own Boston Blackie's and you want... No, but I really do like Boston Blackie's restaurants. I've been there. There's
what
one in Deerfield.
There? Yeah, there's
I
one
had
in
a burger.
Deerfield. Yeah.
I had a mushroom burger with melted provolone cheese. And boy, I would like to eat one of those right now. I'm hungry. Boston Blackie, there's one in Chicago, and then there's one in Deerfield.
Yep. I've been to the one in Deerfield,
really
but it's
good,
a long time.
Really good burgers. They have all kinds of food.
Mm-hmm.
Really good burgers. And we're listening to Boston Blackie right now. And I do believe that there are pictures. I remember seeing pictures of Chester Morris up.
At Boston
You know, because
Blackie.
Chester Morris is the sort of the person we think of when we think of Boston Blackie. We think of Chester Morris because he made 14 movies, and that was sort of his role
right.
in the movies. You know, he played that part for years. He played it for probably 10, 15 years, you know.
I wonder why they chose that name for the restaurant. I wonder what their affinity toward Boston Black.
I just think it the whole motif is the detective, yeah. Boston Black.
I mean, somebody is a big fan, is my guess, but it might be more than that. I don't know.
Yeah, good burgers there for sure. And I wish I had one right now. I'm hungry.
I only had breakfast and dinner. Yeah, we were talking about that. That's plenty.
I skipped lunch today.
That's plenty of food for a grown man.
I'm a growing boy.
No, you're good with two meals.
Yeah, I'm growing all right. My stomach's
it's growing.
Growing
all right.
Let's get back now to Boston Blackie.
Come in.
Hello, Faraday, old pal.
Don't old pal me, Blackie. Now get out of here. This is police headquarters. Or didn't you know?
It's surprising to me that you know where you are. Faraday, old man, I have a confession to make to you. Up until now, I never thought you had the brains of a cricket.
Oh, you've changed your mind, huh?
Yes, and I apologize for my former thoughts. I think you do have the brains of a cricket.
Well, at least you finally learned something. Now, tell me what you came down here... What did you say? I've got the brains of a cricket.
With apologies to the cricket, of course. Faraday, I want...
Well, whatever it is, the answer is no. Now, you and your crickets, get out of here.
All right. But then, of course, if I leave, I won't be able to identify that body that was found this morning. So long as...
Oh, wait a minute, Blackie. Talk, but talk fast.
Okay, get an interpreter in here so you can tell what I'm talking about.
Blackie, for the last time, start talking. I'm being calm. I'm not going to lose my temper. But you're going to talk, and I'm going to sit here nice and quiet while you do.
Well, that's what I don't like about you, Faraday. You whisper all the time. Okay. Your unidentified body is a man named Bill Davidson.
Oh, it is it? Bill Davidson. You haven't even seen the body. You can tell me it was Bill Davidson. Who's he?
A real estate rental agent who worked for Henry Bryant. I think he pulled a rather tricky swindle and tried to beat it out of town.
Oh, you do, huh?
Sure. I got a brainstorm, and I can give you a perfect description of the body.
Well?
Tall fellow, blonde hair... And an anchor and crown tattooed on each arm.
Perfect, Blackie. Absolutely perfect. Perfect nonsense. The guy we found was short, bald, and wasn't tattooed. Now get out of here and don't bother me. And the next time, do me a favor. Don't get a brainstorm. Get a concussion.
Jim Palmer, ex-soldier, made a $300 deposit on an apartment in a building yet to be erected. And Boston Blackie smells a racket. But when Blackie gets to the real estate office, the agent is not there. Then he hears of the murder of an unidentified man and thinks it is perhaps the missing rental agent, but apparently it is not. As we return to our story, Blackie, deciding to pay a late visit to the office of the Bryant Realty Company, finds someone there before him.
Now, get in there if I have to...
Good evening, Palmer.
Huh? Oh, Blackie. Hiya.
Pretty late to... Try to do business at the Bryant Real Estate office, isn't it?
I gotta see those guys. I gotta have my dough back.
You obviously do, but look, this office is closed. Won't be open until tomorrow morning.
But I can't wait until then. I gotta have my dough as soon as I can get it.
Look, Palmer, when you first called me on the telephone to say you thought this apartment thing was a racket, you threatened to kill anyone who cheated you, remember?
Yeah, well, what about it?
I still have a hunch about that unidentified body that the police have. In fact, I came down here to do some checking myself. Now, if you had nothing to do with any killing, go on home and...
Get away from me, Blackie. I'm staying here.
Soldier, don't push.
Well, then let me handle this my own way. Don't make me go to work on you, too.
No, I wouldn't want you to do that, Palmer. You might get hurt. Now, be a good boy. As long as you're on the right side, you're on my side, and vice versa. We'll go into the real estate office and look around.
Go in? We can't. The joint's locked.
Yes, but it'll be unlocked in a minute.
Oh, yeah, Boston Blackie. That's right, I forgot. You're supposed to be pretty good with locks, aren't you?
Fairly, but I don't think I'll make the headlines for opening this one. There. Open already.
Hey, Blackie, how'd you do that?
I keep that particular art of mine such a secret I hardly know myself. Let's go in and look around. Wonder if a little snooping would tell me what happened to Davidson or where he is. I wonder if there's anything interesting in this file.
Yeah, but how do you know where to look?
I don't. Uh-oh. Here's something already.
What is it?
A stack of deposit receipts for the apartments in Bryant's buildings.
Gee, that's a terrific wad of papers. Well, there must be 1,000 receipts in that stack.
Yes, there are only 100 apartments in Bryant's building. This particular one. Look here.
Huh?
Look right here, for instance. Here's apartment 9C, rented to 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10 different people. Same apartment, but rented to 10 different people. This proves your theory, all right. That's a nice racket.
Why, the dirty... Here, give me those papers.
Hey, not so fast. What do you want with them?
The names and addresses of those people. I'm going to get the whole gang of them together, and we're going to tear Davidson apart.
That's a good idea if you can find him. But I'm afraid he's made his money and has skipped out of town. See that grin on his face in the picture there?
What picture?
There on the desk. Looks like he just...
Hey, are you kidding, Blackie? That's not Davidson.
It's not Davidson?
No. Davidson is a short, ball-headed guy with a funny...
Short? And bald?
Yeah.
Thanks, Palmer. Thanks very much.
What for?
For telling me that Davidson's dead. Found murdered at 10 o'clock this morning.
Dead? How do you know?
Faraday described him. But I didn't know it was Davidson because his assistant, Tom Johnson, told me the man in this picture was Davidson.
He did? Well, why would he do that?
Why, because Johnson was in on the swindle with Davidson and killed Davidson for his half of the take. He told me this was Davidson's picture to delay me. Tom Johnson's the man we want, and the man I'm going to get.
Blackie, if you come in and out of my office much more, I'm going to have him put in a revolving door.
Don't do it, Faraday. You'll have to go through it, too. You're spending too much of the time as it is.
Well, maybe I like to spend.
You know? Well, suit yourself, old top. Faraday, I just got a correct description of Davidson, and it fits that unidentified body.
Correct description? What's wrong with the first one?
It was based on a picture.
On a picture? Look, Blackie, pictures don't...
I know, don't lie. But liars have pictures. And Tom Johnson lied to me when he said the picture on Davidson's desk was a picture of Davidson.
Why would Johnson lie? Sooner or later, we'd have identified that body as Davidson's.
Sure. But it would have been later. And where would Johnson be by then? Probably right where he is right now, hundreds of miles away with thousands of dollars. Can I use your phone?
No.
Thanks.
I said no.
I know. I asked you only to be polite. Too bad you couldn't be polite and say yes.
Yeah, well, I said no only because I knew you'd use the phone anyway.
Why, aren't we clever with each other?
No.
Hello?
I'd like to speak to Henry Bryant, please.
Speaking.
Oh, Bryant, this is Boston Blackie. Do you know where I can get in touch with Tom Johnson?
Tom? No, I don't. He called me last night and said he might be out of town for a day or two. The building's completely rented, you know, and there's not much for him to do.
No, I don't suppose there is. Well, thanks. Thanks just the same.
Not at all, Blackie. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, did you find Johnson?
No, and Bryant doesn't know where he is.
But I suppose you do.
I have a hunch he's out of town, and if that's so, we're out of luck.
Quiet, everybody, quiet, and I'll explain why you're here. Yeah, Palmer, what's the idea of calling us out on a rainy night and getting us jammed into this dump of a warehouse?
I'll tell you why. Just take it easy, take it easy. All of us gave a deposit of $100 or more to the Bryant Real Estate Company to give us apartments when his new building was finished.
All of us?
That's right. 1,000 of us paid deposit money on just 100 apartments.
I want my money back. You mean to say
that... I mean to say that Mr. Davidson and Tom Johnson swindled us out of our money. Davidson is dead and Johnson's run away with the dough.
Well, what can we do?
I'll tell you what we can do. Bryant himself is the one responsible for this. He hired Davidson and Johnson. And Bryant's rich, and we're going to make him give us our money back. Now, take it easy. Take it easy. He'll do it. Or he'll be an awful sorry guy. But first, I want to... Let me finish, will you? Take it easy now. Let's give him a chance to square himself. Let's go see him right now, right?
Right.
Well, come on, then. What are we waiting for?
Let's go.
He'd better come out or we're going in after him.
Hey, what was that?
Somebody tossed a rock through one of the front windows. That ought to bring him out.
Hey, look. The light on the porch of his house just went on.
Yeah, and the door's opening. Is that Bryant?
I don't know.
Well, we'll soon find out. He's got his hands raised. He wants to talk. Now, take it easy, everybody. Quiet. Let him talk. Let him talk.
I'm Mr. Bryant. Now, what do you people want with me?
We paid deposits on apartments in your new building. 100 apartments were rented to 1,000 different people. We want our money back.
Wait, please wait.
Quiet, everybody. Give them a chance to talk.
Thank you very much. I know just how you people feel. I just found out about this thing myself. Believe me, it came as a terrible shock to me.
We want our money.
Please let me finish.
Let him finish, everybody. Let's hear what he has to say. All right, Bryant, talk.
Listen, everybody. I'm insured against what happened to you. You'll get your money back, every cent of it.
Oh, don't give it back.
The banks open at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, be at my office starting at 9:30, and I'll see that each one of you is refunded every cent that you gave Davidson and Johnson.
All right, Bryant. That's okay with me. Is it okay with the rest of you?
Yeah.
Okay, Bryant, I'm coming up to shake hands on that. Let me get by here, will you?
Okay,
come on,
okay.
Let me get through.
Okay.
Sorry, Bryant. Well, Bryant, thanks.
That's all right, son, and I won't let you down.
You hear that, everybody? Are you satisfied?
Yeah.
Okay, Mr. Bryant, we'll see you at your office in the morning.
I'll be there, and I'll have your money, too.
Okay, let's go, everybody. Come on,
let's go. Come on.
Bryant, all right.
Well, Tom, how did I handle that?
Ah, you were great, Bryant. The fools think we're going to give them their dough back, eh?
Yeah, they're going to be at my office tomorrow morning to get it. We'll be miles away by then.
We sure will. Say, that idea of yours having a phony picture of Davidson on Davidson's desk was great, Bryant.
Better than that, Tom, was you letting Davidson think that you and he were pulling a swindle behind my back when you and I were really just letting him collect the money for us.
And the cops will go on looking for Davidson for weeks on charge of swindling when they've already got his body in the morgue.
Uh-oh, someone at the door. Probably one of the mob coming back. You better get out of here.
All right, I'll go upstairs and get packed.
Good. Yes?
Mr. Bryant, I'm Boston Blackie.
What do you want?
Well, first, I'm wet and I want in.
All right. You're in. Now, what else do you want?
Oh, nothing much. You probably got rid of that crowd just leaving your house by giving them some smooth talk. But I don't want talk. I want money.
What money?
The money you swindled from your prospective tenants. Took me a little time to figure this out, but I'm sure I'm right. I'd like something else, too. An admission that you killed Davidson.
I killed Davidson?
That's right. Want to tell me about it?
Not right now. Oh, just a second. I can tell you I killed him. I killed him and put him in his car and sent him crashing down the hill. Now, what about it?
Nothing except for us to go to headquarters. Thanks for talking, Bryant. You've made this very easy.
Well, look behind you and you'll see someone who's going to make it very tough. That's the reason I didn't mind admitting the murder.
I'm not falling for that one, Bryant. Where's Tom Johnson, your assistant?
Right behind you.
Not exactly right behind you, Blackie. There's a gun between us.
Uh-oh.
So you wouldn't fall for someone behind you, huh? Genius, aren't you?
Tom, don't kill him here.
I won't. The longer he stays alive, the longer we wait till we're safe.
Well, what'll we do with him?
Well, those hands of his are tricky. Grab that cord off the drapes and tie him up. Work fast now.
All right, but keep a gun on him.
You let me worry about that. You watch his hands, they're fast.
I'm watching them. Oh. All right, Blackie, all right. Hey, you turn around and put your hand behind you.
Sure, Brian, I'll turn around. But I'll put you in front of me.
Hey, let go of me, let go.
Sure, when I'm through using his shield. Now, Tom, I'm coming after you.
Stay back or I'll shoot.
Go ahead. You'll hit Bryant, not me.
No, Tom. I'm in front of Blackie. You'll hit me.
I've got to.
Just touch him in the arm, Bryant. Now I'll give it to him. Here
don't,
you are, Tom.
Don't!
Oh, what, are you kidding?
Oh, my arm.
There, Bryant. That'll put Tom to sleep a little while. When he wakes up, maybe Faraday will sing both of you a lullaby.
Mr. Bryant's safe open yet, Blackie?
It will be in a minute, Mary. There.
Gee, I hope the money's in here.
There she is, Mama.
And there's all the money, too.
Wow, that was some haul, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, Soldier. And look at it, all in cash, all ready to carry. Here, you take it, Soldier. It's all yours.
With pleasure.
Why won't you feel rich for a little while?
I sure will, Miss Wesley, but I'll feel still better when I meet all those people at Mr. Bryant's office tomorrow and give them each their share.
How many people did Mr. Bryant swindle?
Some 900 odd.
Odd people, Blackie?
Yes, Mary. Bryant swindled 900 odd people. But this money and what the law promises to do to Bryant and his pal Johnson will make them even.
You can see why I like Boston Blackie, right? It's a smarty pants.
You're a smarty
pants.
He's
like, pants. You know, he has this kind of an attitude with the bad guys, you know. He's like, he just feels like he's going to outwit them because he was a bad guy, see? He was a bad guy at one time, and now he's rehabilitated.
Kind of like he's a little smarter than everybody
else.
Yeah,
he's great. I like Boston
Blackie. I don't know anyone like that.
It was a very popular series. You know, there's a television show on TV right now. I don't know if it's been canceled or it's still on TV. It's called White Collar. And I've watched it a few times, and it is Boston Blackie, basically. This guy was a thief. He was a master thief, and then he went to jail. And now he's rehabilitated, and the police use him, and
right.
You know, and he helps them crack the cases. So it's really the same premise,
same idea. There's been movies and other television shows with that a similar premise. To
yeah,
that.
This one's it's called White Collar, Boston Blackie. Yeah, to me, it's too similar. But anyway, all right. Well, that's Boston Blackie. A broadcast from September 17th, 1946, called The Apartment Swindler. In that broadcast, Maurice Tarplin was Inspector Faraday. Of course, we know Maurice Tarplin as the mysterious traveler. And then his girlfriend, Mary Wesley, was played by Leslie Woods on that show. Hope you enjoyed it. And this had a female director back in the days. Jean Harrison was the director, a female director of Boston Blackie. You know, I think that's really great. I mean, back then, it was almost all men that were directing these shows. Boston Blackie had, and you know, Sherlock Holmes, too, had a female director. And I'm glad to see that they...
Well, one of our smart listeners has texted in to let us know that White Collar TV program was canceled in 2015.
It was canceled, huh? Yeah, we have the smartest listeners.
But thank you for letting
radio.
Us know.
Let's take a quick break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Hour 3 of program 180 here on the WGN Radio Theater. It is 1:07 in the morning, Monday morning. And thanks for staying up late with us, Lisa and I and Shante. We're here every single Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. until 2 o'clock in the morning. And tonight, or this morning, I should say, we're going to tune into The Whistler, starring Elliot Lewis. Elliot Lewis played Frankie Remley on the Phil Harris and Alice Faye show, but you'll hear him in a dramatic kind of mystery episode called Married for Murder on The Whistler from 1944. That's in this hour, and it's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in the upcoming film The Bad Batch, a dystopian love story set in a community of cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, right up your alley.
Yeah, because I like cannibals so much.
I don't know. We were talking about Hannibal Lecter earlier
today. Oh, that's
today.
Right. We were.
And if you are the winner, you get a Twilight Zone 4-CD set.
Wow, Twilight Zone.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah.
Hosted by Stacey Keach.
312-981-7200. That's the number. Now, here's a hint. This actor was the star of 2015's Knock Knock.
Please. I love my children. I love my wife. I'm a good father.
Oh, I didn't see that. It sounds scary.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you see that?
He sort of kidnapped, and he's like a bad guy in this, I think.
I could tell.
All right, so who is that actor? 312-981-7200. He has a very distinctive voice, doesn't he?
Yes.
This actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We're playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's focus on what we're doing. We're going to play that movie clip one more time.
Please. I love my children. I love my wife. I'm a good father.
And we have Jose on the line. Hey, Jose.
Hello, Lisa. Hi, Carl.
Hey, Jose.
It's good to talk to you on the phone.
Thank you, ma'am. Same as well here.
Excellent. Who's that actor?
One of my favorite actors, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is exactly right, Jose. We are so glad it's you, and you've won the Twilight Zone 4-CD set. It's hosted by Stacey Keach, the wonderful actor, and it's produced by the one and only Carl Amari. And it's a terrific, terrific prize, so we hope you enjoy the Twilight Zone.
Yes, ma'am. I enjoyed the first one, and I like them very much, and you both have a good night, and God bless both of you.
God bless you,
thank
buddy.
You,
thanks
and thank you
lot.
So
Enjoy
much
it.
For being a listener.
Okay, good show, and thank you.
Take care.
All right, it's time now for the Whistler. All right, Lisa, you ready for a good mystery?
Yeah, but I was really hoping you'd do some whistling for us.
I can't
but
do it. I think it was
really
a woman by the name of Dorothy or Doris. I think it's Dorothy Roberts did the whistling on this series. That was her job. She'd show up. She'd do the whistler.
I'm really disappointed in you.
At the beginning,
I thought for sure
I can
you could
do
it.
I can do it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Let's hear. Come on. Try one more time. That was pretty good.
It
was
not bad.
It sounds
not
a little like
as,
Anchors Away.
It's not as good as Dorothy Roberts will do here in a minute.
No.
All right,
good
so
try.
This was a mystery series, premiered on radio in 1942. It was sponsored by Signal Oil, and Bill Foreman was the longest-running whistler. There was a couple of other guys, but he was the longest-running. And it always had great supporting characters, like supporting actors like Jack Webb, Gerald Moore, Elliot Lewis, William Conrad. About 700 episodes of The Whistler were produced. And then there was a brief TV series in 1954, and then Columbia Pictures made 8 Whistler films from 1944 through 1948. I've never seen a Whistler film.
I was just going to ask you that.
I think
why not?
I think you can go on YouTube, actually,
bet,
and watch
yeah.
a Whistler film. I might
we
do
should,
that.
We should do that. Yeah. We should hold a Whistler event.
Yeah. Let's have a, whoever can whistle the Whistler tune
gets in
the
for
best.
Free.
Yeah.
All the Whistlers get in for free.
All right. Let's tune this in. A broadcast from September 25th, 1944. It's called Married for Murder. Here's Elliot Lewis in part one of The Whistler.
Let every go signal remind you that you do go farther with Signal gasoline. The Signal Oil Program.
I am the Whistler. And I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
The marketers of Signal's famous Go Farther gasoline and motor oil invite you to hear another strange tale by The Whistler. Tonight, the story of a wild night on foggy Seal Rocks and the girl who was married to murder. And now, The Whistler.
In the night, the convoys form, ship by ship, slipping into line, moving out past the Golden Gate, past the fog-enshrouded Seal Rocks in a cold dawn, past rocks where the tourists go, where the lovers go. You heard a scream? Yes. But the ships are not disturbed. They move on out into the Pacific, leaving far behind the body of a girl lying face down on the rocks, their wash reaching for her hair. Just a girl who fell off a cliff. Fell or was pushed. The finding of a girl's body on rocks creates hardly a stir in the bustle of the city the next day. A brief item in the afternoon papers. A call for the coroner. Another entry in the police records. There are only a few people who notice. If we were to look for them, we might find them down on Montgomery Street, in a dirty little bar where artists and would-be artists and slummers hang out. Yes, there are a lot of people here who might know something about a body twisted on the rocks. For instance, that blonde giant at the end of the bar, sitting with his head in his hands, or the girl walking up to him now, sliding into the seat beside him.
Rick, I thought I'd better tell you, they're looking for you.
Huh? Oh, hello, Cassie.
Who's looking for me?
You know who. The police. They're asking questions about Maureen. They know you knew her.
So what? Why should they ask me questions about her? Women like her have jumped off cliffs before.
Don't try to kid me, Rick. Remember, I'm Cassie, Maureen's roommate. I knew her better than even you did.
Yeah, I guess you did. Maybe I never really knew her very well.
Well enough to break her heart. Maybe well enough to want to get rid of her.
What are you talking about?
You needn't pretend with me, Rick. Maureen had no secrets with me. She told me everything. And I told the police. I had to, Rick. They kept pumping me. I had to.
What did you tell them, Cassie?
I told them that you loved her once, that another woman had taken her place, a society dame gone bohemian. A blonde and beautiful heiress looking for a thrill by flirting with a poor, struggling artist in a turtleneck sweater.
That's enough, Cassie. Leave Sally out of this.
Ah, she's in it up to the neck. Maureen was too good to take a back seat to any Miss Moneybags.
I said leave her out of it.
Okay. Okay. Only one more thing. I told the police about last night.
What do you mean?
You and Maureen had a quarrel last night, just a few hours before she died.
Yeah? Okay, so we quarreled. That doesn't mean she had to go jump in the ocean, does it?
No, it doesn't. I'm pretty sure of that. That's what I told the detective.
You throw your accusations of murder around pretty freely, don't you, Cassie?
No, not usually, Rick, but I like Maureen. She was more than a fine sculptress. She was a swell person. She was just about the best of this bohemian melting pot down here, and I don't like to think of her being pushed off that cliff. Just remember that I'll do anything I can to help them get to the truth of this.
I'll remember, Cassie.
Yeah, I guess you will. Okay, Rick. Better get your answers ready, because if I'm not mistaken, that dick who just walked in is looking for you.
Yes, Rick. He's looking for you. You know that. You've been expecting it. You've been curious to see what he'll look like, what expression he'll have on his face. In a minute, you'll know, so gulp down that drink. There, that's better. And there he is. You can see his face sliding into the spot in the mirror where Cassie was a minute ago.
You're Rick Carlson?
That's right.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Yeah, I know. Okay, go ahead. It's about Maureen.
That's right. You knew her pretty well?
Of course, you know I did. She was in love with me. I didn't love her anymore. I took her to dinner last night. We quarreled. She left. That's all I know.
What about Miss Blair?
What's she got to do with this?
I don't know. Maybe a lie.
Sally had nothing to do with it. She didn't even know Maureen. Leave her out of it.
I'm not sure we can. Miss Maureen, they tell me, was a jealous girl, unpredictable. Liable to do a lot of things, say a lot of things. Blairs are a fine family, good name. They wouldn't like their daughter mixed up with a...
Go ahead, say it.
A bohemian crowd of artists? Maybe you didn't want Maureen to go to the Blairs with the story. And it'd be so easy to keep her quiet, just to shove at the right time. Simple in the fog out there. Simple and sure.
Listen, you, whoever you are.
Okay, okay, take it easy. I was only guessing. But it all fits pretty well, doesn't it?
It fits, only I wasn't there.
Oh, that's right. You said she left you after the quarrel. Where was that?
At a little fish restaurant at the beach.
Near the rocks?
Not very far.
I see. But you didn't go with her to the rocks?
No.
Then you might have to prove that. I suppose you can.
Yes, he can. Go on, Rick. Tell him it's all right. You needn't worry about dragging me into it. Tell him you were with me.
Sally.
Oh, this is Miss Blair, I presume.
That's right. And you see, officer, you're on the wrong track if you're suspecting Rick. He couldn't have pushed Maureen off the cliff because he was with me last night, from 10 o'clock on. You see, Rick's painting a portrait of me, and we worked through most of the night. It was after dawn when we stopped.
I see. Okay, I guess I was wrong. Thanks for your time. You're a lucky man, Olson. And I guess you know that.
Yes, yes, I know. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, aren't you going to invite me to have a drink? I'm simply burning with thirst, and your glass is empty. Good. Let's have two old-fashioneds.
Sally.
What, darling? Don't you want another one?
Sally.
What, Rick? What is it? You look so upset. Oh, of course, how thoughtless of me. Naturally, you're upset about Maureen. Wasn't it dreadful? And then, you were very friendly with her at one time, weren't you? Before you met me, of course.
Sally, why did you do it?
What, dear?
Tell him you were with me last night.
Oh, that. Well, after all, you're the man I love, and naturally, I'd hardly want anything to happen to you that would take you away from me. just because you couldn't prove where you were.
Thanks, Sally.
It's all right, Rick, darling. Let's just forget it now. It's all over.
No, Sally, that's just what I'm afraid of. It's probably not over. They won't give up so easily. Now you'll be dragged into it. I don't want that.
It's all right, Rick. I don't mind. It might even be fun. Yes, an investigation right here in our own group. All our secret lives exposed. And nothing can happen to you. You were with me.
I mean that much to you?
After all, you're the man I'm going to marry.
Sally, you mean... You mean you really will?
Of course. I intended to all along, didn't you know? And after all, a girl can't say yes too quickly, can't she?
Oh, Sally! No, but darling, think. This marine business may be messy. A scandal in the papers. What about your family?
Oh, never mind about them. I'm determined to marry you, Rick. Especially now. And nothing, nobody can stop me. Don't worry, darling, about me. I think it's going to be thrilling.
Thrilling? Everything's thrilling to you, isn't it?
Yes, because I live that way. I couldn't stand it just living like most people without any excitement or danger. What's the good of living if you can't have any fun?
No, of course not, darling, of course not. And when this mess is over and forgotten, I'll make you happy. Very happy.
Oh, yes, Rick, I'm sure you will. When it's over.
When it's over. But it's not over yet, Sally. In spite of your loyal attempt to save Rick, he's not quite safe yet. Some people are so suspicious. Some people aren't yet convinced of his innocence. Yes, there's going to be a trial for murder. The murder of Maureen. The date has been set, and as the district attorney prepares his case, he finds that each way he turns, there's a barrier. One barrier between him and conviction. Sally.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Blair. Sit down.
Thank you.
I called you in because I just wanted just a few words with you before the trial.
All right, I'm here. What is it?
Miss Blair, I'm going to be very frank with you. All the evidence in the Morrison girl's case points to the guilt of Richard Olson. The coroner's jury believed him guilty. I believe him guilty. Any jury in the world would convict him on the evidence, except for one thing, your word.
Yes, I know he's innocent because he was with me.
That's your story.
You don't believe me?
That's beside the point. It's my job to convict Richard Olson if he's guilty. I'll try to do that. But I said I would be frank. I haven't a chance if you testify that you were with him. The jury will take the word of Miss Sally Blair, the daughter of a powerful and famous family.
Yes, of course.
But it's for that very reason, Miss Blair, that I ask you to stop and think a moment.
Think of what?
Of yourself, of your family, of your position. If it should turn out later that Richard Olson was indeed guilty, could you forgive yourself for having aided a murderer?
But he's not guilty. He was with me. Perhaps you haven't heard that Richard Olson and I are going to be married.
Married?
Yes, as soon as this farce is over. So you see, Mr. District Attorney, you're wasting your time.
I see. And you think that you, the daughter of one of the best families in San Francisco, will be happy living the rest of your life with a murderer?
Crime has to be proved. Rick will be acquitted.
Yes, I guess he will. And so, Miss Blair, you will go that far for another thrill.
I don't know what you mean. I'm marrying the man I love. He's accused of a crime of which I know he's innocent. I will testify to that effect. Rick was with me.
Very well, Miss Blair. And may I wish you a very happy married life?
All right. This is called Married to Murder. It stars Elliot Lewis and also his wife. I'm not sure if he was married to her yet, Kathy Lewis. Kathy Lewis did a ton of radio. She was one of the most, probably the busiest female actress on radio, Kathy Lewis. And she married Elliot Lewis, and I'm not sure what year. I'm going to check on it because this is a 1944 broadcast. Maybe they met doing this episode of The Whistler and then got married.
There's your romantic side.
Wow.
There you go.
I am I'm quite the romantic.
Yes, I just picked up on that.
Yeah.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thanks, Roger and Esmeralda. It is 1:35 in the morning, and I want to thank you all for staying up with us. And tell a friend about our show, because maybe you have a friend or two that would like to hear these classic radio shows. I got to tell you, you didn't have to grow up listening to these shows. I mean, you didn't have to be a kid when these shows were on the air. I mean, Lisa was, but I wasn't.
Right.
I mean, I was born in 1963. These shows were long gone. Lisa, 1919, was it? Or 18?
Yeah, one of 18, those. 19. I can't keep track.
Is it 18,
it's been
19?
So long. I just can't keep my days right.
But these radio shows started airing during the golden age, in 1930s, and then all the way to the 50s, late 50s. You didn't have to be alive in that era to enjoy these shows. People that are our age, Lisa, you know.
Yeah, don't put us in the
and
same
younger,
category.
My kids like these shows. My, you know.
Well, and of course, they've been exposed to them for
so
many
years.
Well,
and that's the key. If you hear the shows and you get to unleash that imagination, you know, hear these shows and picture the people in your mind and what they looked like and the sound effects and the music, it creates these pictures, right? And it's so enjoyable. To me, it's like more fun than watching a movie or reading a book. I really love to just have my old-time radio time, you know? And that's why I like the free radio classics, because that comes every Monday, and then when I'm in my car, I Bluetooth it. And that's why I like the podcasts to the show.
The podcast will be posted on our Facebook page tomorrow, and Ashante will post both of them onto WGN Radio. They will both be posted by tonight.
Yeah.
But on Monday in the afternoon, I will have Saturday's and Sunday's podcast both posted to our Facebook page.
That's because you're just a loyal co-host of this show, Lisa.
Somebody's got to do some work around here, Carl.
That's right. Someone has to.
So it may as well be me.
Well, let's get back to this. Married to Murder. Here's the conclusion of The Whistler.
And so, Rick, you're going free, thanks to Sally and her testimony. And when the trial is dismissed and you're free, you'll take her to that dirty little bar that was your rendezvous. And you'll tell her about all the things in your heart.
You don't know what it is, Sally, to be free. You know, I used to sit in that cell and think about you and your portrait. Wonder if I'd ever see you again. I wondered if I'd ever finish my picture of you so that everybody could see your beauty. Darling, it'll be a great portrait. Really great.
Of course it will, darling. After we're married, you'll have all the time in the world to paint it.
Yes. Yes, after we're married next week. Darling, let's go down and get the license right now.
Wait. Rick, just one thing. You do love me, don't you?
You know I do.
More than you did Maureen?
Much, much more.
I just wanted to be sure. Rick.
Yes?
Rick, why did you do it?
What?
Why did you kill her?
Sally.
Oh, don't look so startled. I knew all along. I just wondered why you did it.
Let's not talk about it. Let's leave it as dead as Maureen is. Let's be happy and not talk about it ever. Or maybe you'd rather not go through with this now.
Of course, darling. I made my choice. You love me, I love you. That's enough. We'll both forget Maureen. If we can.
You are listening to the Signal Oil Program. Let every go signal remind you that you do go farther with Signal Gasoline.
And so Rick, acquitted of murder, and Sally, who saved his life even though she knew he was guilty, were married. Not a very happy start for a marriage, was it, Rick? It somehow changed things to know that Sally knew. But then it was only Sally. Charming, beautiful Sally, who got a thrill out of life. After all, she wouldn't have saved you. Wouldn't have married you if she hadn't loved you. Would she?
Sally, hurry, come see.
What, dear?
The portrait. I've finished it. It's wonderful. Come and see it.
Just a minute. I'm doing my hair.
But aren't you excited?
Of course, darling. Can't you wait?
No.
Oh, all right, Rembrandt. Where is it?
Don't joke, sweet. This is my masterpiece. Cast not upon it a jaundiced eye.
It's very good, Rick. I think it will sell.
Sell, by Jupiter. The woman's a commercial money grabber. Sell nothing. It'll be famous.
Do you really think so? I'm glad.
It's a great painting, Sally, because you're in every line of it. You and my love for you.
That's very sweet of you, Rick.
You're so cool. Why?
Well, I thought you said the portrait was of me.
Yes, and so a composite of all the loveliness of the world.
Rick, I don't have green eyes.
Neither does the... So she does. Do you know I didn't realize it? I meant to make them blue.
And my nose doesn't turn up like that. I'm not complaining, you understand. If someone
else... Now, don't start that again, please.
Rick, are you really happy with me?
My gosh, what a question.
Oh, but you never go out. You just sit here night after night and brood.
I like to stay home.
Rick, are you in love with a girl with green eyes?
Don't be silly. I love only you, and you know it. Besides, you yourself say I haven't left this studio in weeks. A fine clandestine love affair, that is.
Let me see the picture again, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Maureen's nose turn up that way? And if I remember, her eyes were green. Just that shade of green. Is your conscience bothering you, Rick?
Shut up. We weren't going to talk about it.
Why don't you want to talk about her? What are you so afraid of? Does she haunt you?
Stop being jealous of a corpse, Sally. Can't you stop hating her now that she's dead?
I'm not jealous, Rick. And it was never Maureen I hated, never.
That has a chilling sound. What are you driving at?
Or is that what killing someone does? Does it make you fall in love with them? Let go of me, Rick. Don't hurt me. I'm your wife, remember? You don't have to be afraid of me. You know that, don't you?
I'm not sure.
You're so afraid. I thought it would be exciting being married to a murderer. That we'd have a deadly secret to share as no one else could. But it's dull. We can't do this, and I can't say that, because you're afraid. You'd like to hate me, but you don't even dare do that. Loving me is all that keeps you together. It's dull, Rick.
I imagine that you'll manage to find some amusement.
I imagine I will, sooner or later.
Well, Sally, is being married to a murderer beginning to bore you? But as Rick says, I imagine you'll find some amusement, even if it's only with Tommy Melvin.
I need a drink. Come on, Tommy, buy me one.
Now, where's Rick?
Oh, he's at an art dealer's. He'll be along. You know, sometimes I think he loves that painting better than me. Let's have zombies, huh?
Oh, that's pretty strong.
I like strong things, exciting things.
You're bored, aren't you?
A little.
You're not very happy with Rick, are you?
Not very.
Well, it's none of my business, of course, but why did you marry him? He's hardly your type.
Marrying Rick was the biggest thrill I've ever had.
You'd do anything for a thrill, wouldn't you? I like that.
I bore easily, Tommy, and I don't like being bored. I want to feel everything I can, every emotion, every experience I can crowd into my life, good and evil.
You're without conscience, Sally. You could do anything and not look back. I like that, too.
Thanks.
But I don't quite see you marrying Rick in that light.
I didn't think you would.
You could leave him, you know. I'm going to New York next week, and you could come along, Sally. I'd like to have you.
Thanks, Tommy. You're sweet. It might be fun. Give me some time to think it over. I'll let you know.
Tomorrow?
All right. Here comes Rick. You better leave. Oh, Tommy, here's a nickel. Drop it in the jukebox, will you? Number 17.
Sure. You won't forget, Sally.
No, I'll call you in the morning. Hello, darling. I've been waiting for you.
So I see, but not alone.
Rick, you're not jealous of Tommy.
No, I guess not.
You have a drink?
No. Sally, listen, I've got to talk to you. We've got to come to some understanding. I found my painting on the back porch this morning. The fog might have ruined it. That painting is great. It will hang in the Metropolitan. It's more important than my life, Sally. Remember that.
I'm sorry. You're so morose lately, dear. What's wrong?
I don't like it, Sally.
What?
I don't see you anymore. You're never home. You're always here or out with that Tommy Melvin. And when we are together, you ask questions like, how does the tide sound at 2 a.m? Or you wonder what that murderer in San Mateo feels, and you watch me. When we pass Maureen's old apartment house. When I hear a police siren in the street, you watch me. You watch me and watch me. I don't like it.
How suspicious you are.
I'm not kidding, Sally. I've walked around and around the streets, making up my mind, and now I'm determined to say it out. You married me for the thrill of marrying a murderer, nothing more. Isn't that true?
Hold your voice down. Rick, I think you're afraid of me.
Maybe I am.
You needn't worry. I won't tell the police. I'm your wife, remember?
That's not what I'm afraid of.
What then? Perhaps you'd like to push me off a cliff, too, but you can't do it. You love me far too much to hurt me.
You're right. Lord, how I wish I didn't.
I don't mind. Let's go to dinner, darling. Down at the beach. I want you to take me to that fish place down on the cliff near the rocks, huh?
Sally, you know I don't want to go there.
Why not? Because you took Maureen there that last night? Rick, you must get over that silly fear. Besides, I want to go there. We'll have dinner, and then I want to take a walk along the beach. I love the sound of the surf at night. Don't you, Rick?
There's something strange here, Rick. Something very strange. You sense it, too, as you sit opposite her at dinner. Just like you sat opposite Maureen that night. Only there are things you don't notice. Like those pills she slipped into your coffee cup. And when you leave and start walking down the beach, you aren't really aware of where you are.
Sally? Sally, slow up. I can't seem to keep up with you.
Come on, dear. We're almost there.
I feel sort of strained. I don't understand. Sort of sleepy and tired, huh?
Come on, Rick. Here, give me your hand.
Huh?
There. Now, sit right over here.
Where, Sally? Where are we? This place seems familiar, but I can't...
Of course it's familiar, Rick.
Huh?
Down below there are the rocks.
The rocks? Sally, why did you come here?
No particular reason. I like the moonlight on the rocks.
There's no moonlight. It's foggy.
Never mind. I like it here.
I don't...
What's the matter, dear? Does your conscience bother you? I thought hardened murderers got over that. Are you afraid, Rick?
I don't know. I can't seem to think. I'm tired, but... I think I'm afraid. Yes.
You'd like to push me off, wouldn't you? To see my body on the rocks down there with the tide reaching for my hair as it did for Maureen's. But it won't work twice, Rick. You know that. And besides, you love me too much.
Sally, what are you doing? Let's get away from here.
Wait, I want to tell you something.
Let go of my elbow.
I'll tell you first. I'm going to leave you, Rick. I'm going to New York with Tommy Melvin.
What?
But you won't care, Rick. Because, you see, I'm not going to fall off this cliff tonight, Rick. But you are. You were right. I married you only for the thrill of being married to a murderer.
Sally, what are you saying?
But that's a thrill that paled very easily. Murder itself will be a much bigger one.
Are you crazy? Do you think I'll let you push me
you
over?
You can't stop me, Rick. You see, you can't even stand up without weaving. You won't be able to lift a finger to stop me. I put your own sleeping powders in your coffee. It's nothing a doctor will turn up, but it's enough.
Sally, you can't get away with
it. Why not, Rick? They'll say your conscience bothered you, that you returned to the scene of your crime and killed yourself. It will be very neat. You weren't a very good killer. I'll be a much better one.
No, Sally, in God's name, don't...
Goodbye, my darling. You'll be with your green-eyed love in the water, and I shall be free of you both.
Let go of my arm.
It was fun, but you were afraid. You won't be afraid anymore, Rick.
Sally, stop. Sally!
Ah, goodbye, Rick. Goodbye.
Yes, Sally got her biggest thrill at last. She gave Rick sleeping powders and pushed him over the cliff. But then something went wrong. For a girl who had committed murder for a thrill, she suddenly lost her nerve. It was only a little light from a Coast Guard boat, but it sent her running along the cliff, slipping, sliding, taking the wrong turns, and finally... Yes, over she went. They found her body next morning. Rick told them where to look. Yes, Rick. He didn't die. He was only injured on the rocks. It was Sally who died, by her own hand, you might say. But the police didn't see it that way. They didn't know Sally was the girl Rick loved too much to kill. So they said she was pushed. Twice was enough. So Rick was sent upstate for a permanent change of address. Only just before he left, a strange thing happened. The committee from the Metropolitan Museum of Art came to see his painting. They were a little surprised. It was very beautiful, but there had been an accident. Someone had been a little careless with some paint remover. The girl in the picture had no nose, and you couldn't tell if her eyes had been blue or green. Sally might have known, But then the rocks don't tell their secrets. The tide doesn't testify.
Next Monday at 9 o'clock, the Signal Oil Program will bring you another strange tale by The Whistler. The Signal Oil Program is broadcast for your entertainment by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal's famous Go Farther gasoline and motor oil, and by your neighborhood Signal Oil dealer, who is at your service daily to keep your car running for the duration. The Signal Oil Program was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Robert Libet and music by Wilbur Hatch. It's transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Bill Pennell speaking for your friend, the Signal Oil Company, and suggesting once again that you let every go signal remind you that you do go farther with Signal gasoline. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
All right, that's The Whistler with Married to Murder, a good show from September 25th, 1944, sponsored by Signal Oil. This is kind of early in the run of The Whistler, and Elliot Lewis and Kathy Lewis, his wife, appeared on that show. And I checked the date. They were married in 1943, so they were married when this show was on the air in 1944. And they were married about 16, 17 years, and then she passed away. Kathy Lewis died at age 51. That's all she was. She died of cancer at age 51. And then Elliot Lewis married Mary Jane Croft, who was on a ton of radio shows, and she was a foil for Lucille Ball for many years on her television shows. People would recognize Mary Jane Croft if you looked up her picture.